So how did you first come up with this idea of making a documentary on Haida?
Well, for years people have asked me to make films about Haida, and I always said I'll only make a film about Haida if I get a long time, like more than half an hour, to make a film, because it's such a complicated subject that only if you have a long time can you get beyond the cliches. And this is a film I wanted to make which goes beyond the cliches of news reports, because actually those cliches help Haida. They don't actually help explain it.
Okay. So was this something that you personally chose to do, or was it like the BBC or the newspaper that you work for that asked you to do this documentary?
I personally chose to make this film, partially because I got tired of having to explain to my friends and people what was happening and the mechanisms behind why Haida gets the votes he is and why he's dangerous, and that he's dangerous for reasons other than what you usually think, i.e. he's authoritarian and he's populist, but he's not a neo-Nazi.
So Trieste and Haida have quite a strange relationship. So what do you feel about showing this film in Trieste for actually the first time? Very huge subject.
Well, I've made a lot of effort to come down here, and I was very pleased that the film was selected and that there's a Haida, special films here, because obviously this, Austria was number one, you are number two in a sense, in terms of an experiment. Will Haida work, will Haida not? Who will set boundaries to him? And is he in a sense controllable? And I was very keen that the experiences and also the mistakes that were made in dealing with Haida, that Trieste and that Friuli and Italy does not repeat them.
So, looking at this documentary, I think you showed a lot about Haida that people do not know. So in one sense, maybe it's good for him, but in the other sense, maybe it's bad for him, because people in your documentary see also the good parts of him. So how do you feel about that?
Well, the thing with Haida is, if you straight demonize him, then you are actually helping him. Because, like a lot of here, the people who vote for him, they immediately hear in the press, oh, he said this, he said that, he's so terrible. And then they go and see him, or they read something about him directly, and they think, well, he's not that bad. And actually, it's just the press who are trying to make him bad, because that's what Haida says. And actually, that helps him, because one of the roles he likes to play is the underdog, the person who is misunderstood, the kind of Rocky, the man from the bottom who is fighting against the authorities, who's fighting against everything. And if the press and the journalists show exaggerated images of him as a monster, as a Nazi, etc., it actually helps him, because the little people say, well, look, you know, he dresses normally, he hasn't said anything directly against the Jews, etc., etc. So there's not a problem. The point is, there is a problem with Haida, because he is authoritarian, he is egocentric, he is opportunist, he bases his politics on envy, he will move wherever he can get the votes, okay? So he's a total populist, and that is dangerous. Especially in places like here, where you have a lot of historical problems, a lot of contemporary problems. So the problem with Haida is that he builds on the politics of fear. He doesn't try and calm fears, but he tries to dig holes, dig gaps. He kind of like creates new foibles. He wants to dig them out, and create fear of that. And with that fear, he mobilizes it, you know? And it's like, if you go to a film, you watch a film, one of the great things that gets people going to watch Hollywood films is if you're afraid. Okay? It's something that motivates people, and that's how he does things.
Did you already show this documentary in Austria, in the Republic?
This documentary has been shown through the BBC cable networks in Austria. which has very limited distribution. And there has also been one private viewing of the showing of the film in Austria. But otherwise, it hasn't been shown. There will be a special version shown at the Diagonale Film Festival in March. But otherwise, it's very unlikely that Austrian television will buy it and show it publicly.
Is this a political reason?
Well, we had problems from Austrian television in the sense that they initially didn't want to sell us any archive material. Then we protested and we got some archive material. But journalists in Austrian television are under huge political pressure. There is only one television network. Haider's politicians are directly inside. They don't control it totally, but they have an influence. And of course, they have ways of influencing people and stopping stories from getting out, which they think might be difficult.
Now, so this is a documentary and it doesn't show your point of view. I'm very interested about knowing your point of view about Haider. What do you think about him and his politics and his way of living and him as a person?
Well, I made this film as a journalist, and obviously as a journalist I think our duty is to have, you can never be fully objective, but to be dispassionate. There are also legal issues, especially with Haider. Haider uses the law against journalists like very few other politicians. And so that also then makes something where you have to be, very careful and kind of maximum professionalism. My personal views of Haider are that he is someone who is very talented, but who drives his talent, as I say, in the politics of fear, and as someone who is not afraid to use means and to appeal to parts of the voters' psychology to gain success, which I don't actually think helps for the future. There is one problem, and that is that the parties and some of the scandals that he shows and some of the criticisms he makes are correct. Because in Austria, he actually did not win influence or power himself so much only, but by the weakness of the governing parties. And that's one of the crucial, I think, messages, is that Haider grows on a system that is partially where especially people who cannot write, people who have lost their jobs, people who are the losers, see someone who is a simple hero, like a Hollywood hero, a Rocky, in that sort of sense. And these are people who have been left alone by the traditional parties. In Austria, it was particularly the Social Democratic Party, who had forgotten how to talk to the working class, you know? And so one of the things about Haider is that he is a challenge. And he throws a challenge, he enjoys the challenge to the people in power to say, stop me if you can, because I have the people on my side, okay? And that is one of the crucial messages that I would give, is that Haider will always do the same things. The patterns he uses are very simple, and I've tried to show them in this film. And the question is really, what will those who want to stop him, what will they do? Are they strong enough? Have they got strong enough links to the voters? You know, in this film I particularly wanted to show Haider's voters, the people who go for him, because they are very ordinary. You know, and that's the thing. I've made films about Stalin, I've made films about other dictatorships, and the truth about dictatorships or about authoritarian characters is, and it was the same here in Italy with Mussolini, is that the people who supported them were very ordinary, they had very ordinary loves and dislikes, and they weren't monsters. You know, the easiest things with these sorts of people is to say they're monsters, it could never happen here. The easiest things for Italians to think is, he's an Austrian, Hitler was an Austrian, it's kind of like an Austrian problem, it could never happen here. it's just wrong, because it could happen anywhere, because his power is based on things, ordinary things. I've lost my job, I'm envious that the other person has something more than me, I'm afraid I might lose my job, I'm fed up with the old parties, or I'm just bored, you know? He's made politics more interesting in the sense that he's made it a show. And a lot of the other parties were just straight boring, you know, for a young audience. And those are crucial things, that democracy is something you don't just have by having votes. You don't just have it by having parties. It's something active, you know? It's something that has to be revitalized. And for each new generation, democracy has to be made something new, you know? And that's what he's teaching. And if a democracy is old and is rotten, like a house that is, doesn't have a new French paint, it gets moldy and it falls down, you know?
And do you think other politicians could take him as an example and use the same techniques as him to have power?
Well, Haider, some of his techniques he copied from other politicians. He copied a lot of his techniques from Franz Josef Strauss, who was a Bavarian politician. He's taken a lot of ideas from America. He studied in Harvard, and he took the idea of the flat tax. He looked a lot of the techniques, some of the ideology of Newt Gingrich. So the American Republicans are a very great source of inspiration, and on the American political spectrum, he would not be on the far right. Okay, he would actually be middle right. Some things are his own sort of ideas, and obviously they're his own sort of charisma. So Haider is taken from other politicians, but of course there are other politicians who see that success and think you can use it. It's like the success of a game show, you know? In Holland they had an idea for Big Brother. It worked, so other TV stations thought, try it here. People on the right, populist politicians, say, oh, Haider was successful. He took a party from below 3%, it was dying, to 27% of those that voted. Maybe some of these things could work. And obviously, here in Italy, in Friuli, there are a lot of people who are seeing that success and think, well, if we put all of this together, maybe we will be successful as well. And the question is Italy, is Friuli strong enough to resist and to stop people from who want to protest from running to Haider? And maybe they would vote for another party. And that's Friuli and Italians, that only they can answer that question. It's not down to Haider.
So personally, do you think that Haider might be very dangerous?
Haider and dangerous, I mean, he's not, how can one say, Haider is dangerous in the sense...
Not just now, also in the future, I mean, the person Haider, couldn't he change and make things become more dangerous in the future?
I think that Haider can make things more dangerous in that he likes conflict. He lives from conflict. This is why he's an actor and he's a showman. You know, the first rule of theatre, the first rule of film is conflict. Okay? If you have a Hollywood film and everybody loves each other, no one will watch it because it's boring. Okay? And it's the same with politics. You know? If everyone has the same views, it's boring, etc. You know? Haider likes conflicts, he likes to produce them, and so he will take, if there is a society and there is a little crack, he'll go, ah, there's a crack, and he'll go, and he will bore that crack and he will try and open it. And he will see how far society will allow him to open that crack. Okay? The thing with Haider is that his psychology is he is a narcissist. That means he loves himself. Okay? That means he wants to be number one. He cannot bear to be number two. Okay? So in his party, he leads it with a very authoritarian style. He grew up in an authoritarian family. And so in a state, if he gains control, it will be him as a number one character, where there will be no other people, and he will make the decisions. Now, if you go to Carinthia, where he is in power, there are no camps, there are no repression, there are, the border is controlled just as strictly as other parts of the border, etc. But what you do have is that you do have this kind of salami technique, that less money is given to maybe some cultural groups or others, or he then takes organizations like the Slovenes in Austria and he divides them. He gives money to some, he supports some much more, because then he can say, look, I'm nice to the Slovenes. And then other Slovenes that he doesn't like have more problems. And he will do this with other groups, with women's groups, with all of those sorts of things. But what he does is that, and this is the danger, with one of the dangers is that he creates a climate where some people feel, why should foreigners be here? And he will not directly say, go and beat up foreigners or kick out foreigners. He will not say that directly. But other people will think, well, Haider kind of means it really. That's what he really says, and I will do it. You know, and so when they're drunk, they will attack someone, etc. But the thing with Haider is that in Germany, you know, there are asylum homes that burn. In Eastern Germany, they are genuinely refugees and people who are asylum seekers who get killed every week by skinheads and neo-Nazis. That does not happen in Austria to the same extent. There have been a few cases of some people being beaten up, and in Carinthia that is not the case. What Haider has is a particular form of verbal violence, in a sense, but it's not often translated into physical violence. In Germany, for example, or here in Italy, you have a physical violence where you do not have so much verbal violence. And it's a kind of a paradox. So in that sense, I would say that Haider is probably more dangerous outside Austria than in Austria, because in Austria, violence, you know, Austrians have never been very good soldiers. You know, the Habsburg Empire was built by marriages, okay, not by war. But if you took Haider or Haider's politics and you took it into a society where violence is far more normal, then it can become even more dangerous, you see. So the truth is with Haider is I don't know how dangerous he is. And that's one of the things, because he is an actor, you're constantly saying, well, do you mean it or don't you mean it? Do you really mean it? And because he says, oh, I didn't really mean it, and then he says something, he's always going in different directions. And that's one of the reasons for success. You know, because part of people saying, well, he's not so bad, other people say, this is what we really mean, you know? And this is one of the dangers, you know, with his people.
So as far as you know, did he ever see this documentary?
Well, it's quite funny, because when we were making the film, we of course wrote to him and invited him to basically reply to some of the points and to have an interview. Obviously, it's journalistically fair to give him a chance to put his point of view. We have a saying in Austria: we weren't even ignored. Okay. Which means that we rang, we checked that our faxes, our interviews, our letters arrived in his office. In fact, we annoyed his secretaries quite a lot. So it was clear we didn't even have an answer. But within 2 days of the film first going out in Britain, there was a call from his office to the BBC that he wanted to see it. And of course, we sent all the versions of the film to him, but we haven't had any sort of reply. Mainly, I think that he wanted to see it so that he could see whether he could take us to court. Because Haider, he's very dangerous for journalists. He's dangerous for journalists because he likes taking them to court. And he uses the law to try and protect himself. And there are some journalists who are very sloppy, who are sensationalists, who do not know the story, have not researched properly. And they say things that are wrong and things that he doesn't say, and he jumps on them because it's part of his politics. Every time he jumps on a journalist, he says, look, they're trying to get me. Look, it's them up there. You know, one of his best slogans in Vienna was, they're against me because I'm for you. If you think of the psychology of that, it's very, very clever. Especially for the people who, you know, who are working, who are at the bottom, who have bosses, who have some sort of resentment. They're against me because I'm for you. That means every time a journalist or a newspaper or something attacks him, all of his people say, aha, he's right. They're against him. The more they attack him, the more he's for us. Because he's a revolutionary like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he is, in that sense, he is revolutionary because he's dangerous to the order as it is at the moment. And he is also dangerous to some corrupt people. He is dangerous to some systems that I don't agree with or other people don't agree with, you know? Because the truth is that the democracies have also, parts of them have got fat and corrupt and need to be attacked. I think one of the lucky things in Italy is that you have had a Di Pietro, you have had Mani Puliti, okay? So a lot of those big scandals he can't find. Okay, whereas in Austria you did not have Mani Puliti, you did not have Di Pietro, so there were a lot of scandals that his networks and the policemen working for him were able to find, okay, and that were true, you know, and so everyone said, God, he must be right, look, he's discovered this, he's discovered that, you know. So as I say, this is why so much about Haider is what is the society is involved, you know. Maybe in other countries where, you know, that are more like Austria was, he would be more successful, maybe in Belgium or other places like that.
Did you ever meet him personally?
I've met him at press conferences, but he's never allowed me to interview him. So I know that there is a ban on the BBC interviewing him because he feels that interviews that colleagues of mine have done are unfair. I've seen the interviews and I don't think they are, but the thing is that in Austria, that journalists, the style of journalism is far more, I call it court reporting, you know. It's, you don't ask such hard questions, whereas in Britain you do, and the politicians expect it in Britain. And so when British politicians interview continental politicians, continental, especially Austrian politicians, get very shocked. But actually in Britain it's totally normal. You know, so I can understand that he would get shocked like that, but, you know, it wasn't unfair.
Okay, and lastly, one negative and one positive adjective for Haider.
Oh my God. positive.
That's a difficult one.
Well, I'm finding it very difficult. It's very difficult to find a positive aspect without being kind of very, you know, my own personal opinions or taste, you know. Maybe if I start with the negative, that is kind of easier for me. I say that the most negative thing about him is his self-love above everything else. You know, I'd say that's the most negative thing. And I would also say that it's the most positive thing about him, because it's also his great weakness. To a certain extent. That sounds paradoxical, but that's what he is. I suppose one positive thing I would say about him is that he loves his parents very much. And that's positive. But as a parent, unfortunately, I think he loves them also because of what they stand for, but that's a kind of a complicated issue.